I don't believe anything happens by mistake. I believe everything is in divine order. And if you set the goal and you know how you want to show up and you have vision of being what's in your head, I'm going to encourage you to go with that.
Welcome, my friend, to the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And as a veteran of the financial services industry, I was curious to find out why, despite all the good that financial professionals do, that yet the term financial advisor would clear the room so fast at a dinner party. Why was this? And what was this gap between consumers of financial services and the providers of those services? In this podcast, I seek to close this gap by having forward-moving conversations to advance the profession of giving financial advice and provide tools to the next generation of financial professionals to serve their clients at the highest level. You see, as providers of financial services, we have the awesome privilege of partnering with consumers to help change family trees, normalize the creation of wealth, and help the industry as a whole do less harm and more good. So it's time to sit back and enjoy the conversation. In the final episode of season 6, Conversations for Financial Professionals, we get to talk with Dr. Dominique Reese. That's right, double the Dominiques on this one, with forging new paths in the delivery of financial advice for women. We mostly tackle the topic of women in financial services in general, as well as women as clients for financial professionals. This is such a big topic, and I really wanted to get Dr. Reese's opinion on how this is growing, what are the things that we can do to make it grow even larger as a percentage of participants, as practitioners in this field. We also do a deep dive into the practitioner side for those that are looking to enter the field that are females, making sure that you have a specialization when it comes to building your practice and noticing the topics that are more important and pertinent to women clients. We also debunk a lot of myths around the different mental blocks that happen for either financial professionals or consumers of financial professional services. I really believe you're going to enjoy the back and forth, so sit back and enjoy the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of advice. And today we have double the Dominiques. I know it's going to be blowing your mind, but we got double the Dominiques today. Dominique, Dr. Dominique Reese, you are award-winning financial coach, consultant, and trainer. You are also the owner and president of Reese Financial Services, a boutique financial services and education firm that specializes in serving leaders, professionals, and entrepreneurs who are growing their net worth and serving in their divine purpose, but have money problems to solve. You're also an expert in building financial foundations, creating and growing assets, and changing financial behaviors by uniquely blending financial education, financial coaching, counseling, and planning for high-achieving individuals who work hard yet lack the financial order they desire. You have over 15 years as a financial professional and has been featured in and sourced for a variety of media, including Associated Press, NerdWallet, NASDAQ.com, CreditCards.com. And you've also been a subject matter expert in the documentary Resurrecting Black Wall Street, and recognized by the Association for Financial Counseling, Planning, and Education for being a high-quality practitioner in an award-winning national program of 60 financial coaches piloted by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And you're an author, also, got a long resume here, girl, of Master My Money, 16 Steps to Solve Your Money Problems and Create a Foundation for Financial Freedom. You're the creator of Build, an 8-week self-paced and guided online personal finance program, and also an online course called How to Start Your Own Financial Coaching Practice for Financial Professionals. In 2020, you founded the Black Women's Investment Club, a Los Angeles-based investment club, where women of color are introduced to investing. And you also have the profitable private practice mastermind for financial educators, coaches, and counselors to leverage shared information amongst their peer professionals while building a profitable private financial empowerment business. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Looking forward to this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to give you your flowers. You know, it's that notion around giving people their flowers while they're still here. These are accomplishments that I think have to be highlighted and recognized, specifically with the subject we're talking about today, which is forging new paths in the delivery of financial advice for women. You guys are underrepresented, possibly undervalued. I could say that to some degree, having been married 25 years, undervalued, but not overlooked from a standpoint of your impact on the industry. So that's what we want to kind of talk about today. And so I'm really happy to chop it up with you.
Thank you. I am looking forward to this as well.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Oh, no. Go ahead. I'm with you. I'm rocking.
Okay. Good stuff. I want to bifurcate this into two main themes for our conversation. As the audience, as you know, are mostly aspiring financial professionals. So you kind of think about career changers and people that are making a decision about getting into this industry, as well as people that are already here. And so the two main themes I want to stick with today are women in financial services, like, you know, kind of think about the practitioner that's already doing this, and then flipping the script to the women as clients for those practitioners, not just women practitioners, but also men practitioners. I read an article over the weekend with a colleague of ours, and I think we all kind of in the same circles, but Akiva Ellis contributed to an article that Margarita Chang of Blue Ocean Wealth was also in on, and just talking about the impact of women, period, in the space. And obviously a lot of intangibles, long list of intangibles that women bring to it. I just kind of wanted to kind of start with getting your thoughts around this based on what you've seen and how you've kind of maneuvered in the face for the or in this space during your tenure as a financial professional.
Yes. You know, I understand that there's just not enough of us, right? There's not enough of us doing the work. And those of us who are out here doing the work, it's become very polarized. I love that there is this emerging field of financial coaching. But when it comes to traditional financial advice, you think of a financial advisor or a financial planner, and there's even less of us in those spaces. Partly because just the talent pipeline, right? And I don't know what all these firms are out here doing or not doing properly. But then you also have the introduction of this career path to other women with really brilliant skill sets, but that are not necessarily being encouraged to take this path. And then when they are, it may not necessarily be private wealth management. So a lot of our talent could get lost to investment banking, to marketing, and very different work. But again, you might see other brilliant talent in these other business units. And so as private wealth is starting to change, and even the face of money is beginning to change, it's my thought, my hypothesis, that as we see more women in particular gaining wealth, and there's a spectrum of wealth, but as we use the word just broadly, more women are going to want to work with more women. And it's natural, and I think the fit is always good, somewhat just because we've only really had men to work with. So getting the option becomes even more desirable. And I'm quite excited for what the industry has to bring. I mean, I'm not focused on where we are today. I really think about it as a visionary. So I'm excited for what's to come for our industry, again, from the practitioner side, along the entire spectrum, and then from the client side, being able to serve those who are coming into wealth.
No, I love that. A lot of neat bunny trails that you've just opened up for me to hop down. I think I want to double click on the notion around just kind of this definition of wealth, I think is one thing that you brought up that I want to be clear on. The other thing that I want to kind of parse is these different aspects of the business where talent may be lost, right? Because there is, you know, I don't know if the person listening to this understands that within the umbrella of financial services, you got all these different spokes on the wheel that you can kind of go through. And then last but not least, I like to unpack women want to work with women. I think that, I don't know why people get offended about that. I know, because it's just like, you know, if I cut my own hair, and I actually cut my wife's hair, but I can see how a woman would want to go to a woman stylist just as much as a man might want to go to a man stylist. And I don't think it's any different. So maybe you start with that and then unpack those other layers that that I just brought up.
Yeah, and who am I? I mean, I'm not taking no national study. I'm not creating a sample size and going out charting these results. But let's be real, like just in our networks, right? And for our own understanding, I like working with other women when I have the opportunity for several reasons. And it's almost like I'm going to use the analogy of raising my son, because I have a 7-year-old, and there are some moments when I just cannot get through to him. And there's also moments when he actually needs something I can't give him. And as his mother and a parent, it is my responsibility to recognize that and then see how I can get him what he needs outside of what I'm able to provide. And in our industry, I'm starting to see a little bit of that. I'm starting to see, even from coming into the industry as a practitioner and learning, my mentor was a Black man, which was very rare even then, because prior to that, all of my mentors had been white men. So getting a Black man was like, oh, yes, this is awesome. But he didn't show me no kind of love. He was him. He didn't really care about hurting my feelings. He was mostly concerned that I got the understanding, that I was skilled, that I could do the job, and that my results spoke for themselves. Wouldn't have it any other way, because that's what made me so great today. I am really good at what I do because of the tough love. But at the same time, I wonder what I missed simply because I didn't have the mentorship from more women and then more women of color who were actually in my business unit doing the work I was doing. Yeah. And just like anything else, when you can see yourself in someone else, you get more encouraged, you have different motivation, and you feel connected to something you've never seen before. So I'm first generation on a lot of things, let alone my career. And I don't know no other financial advisors. No one in my family was ever an advisor or does any of the work that I do. So I have to look to outside people to get motivated, to get inspired, to get educated. And when I think about those coming up now, it's the same idea. Like, well, they have more women to look to, but even still, there's just not enough of us doing the work. So when it does translate into a woman seeking another woman to work with, I mean, the pickings are slim, and you've got that desire to want her is there for all those reasons that I mentioned. You know, you want to see someone who's successful in their career. You want to see someone who's driven. You want to see someone who may share similar values as to the ones that you have, who may have a similar background. So now you can create some cultural attraction. And then just good business is run like that. I mean, you do business with people you like and trust. That's a huge, huge factor for financial services industry when it comes to women working with women. If I don't like you and I don't trust you simply because I don't know enough about you or we don't share similar backgrounds, values, I'm probably not going to work with you. So it's not like all of those things go out the door just because we're women. No, you still have a criterion, but it definitely helps when you can see yourself in someone else and you're working with them and you're entrusting them with the thing you work very hard for. all of that makes a difference. You speak a certain language, there's cultural sensitivity, there's sensitivity just around being a woman and having that shared experience as well in the world. And then if we do go to being women of color, I mean, that's a whole nother playing field. So I'm an advocate for more women and young women, and love teaching high schoolers in particular about this pathway. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, because just like entertainment industry, I live in LA and I know a lot of people in the industry, but they have a very similar barrier. Whereas if you're not aware of the opportunities that are behind the camera, you just think all the opportunities are in front of the camera. And so it's the same thing here in financial services, where, you know, you may see a lot of the behind the scenes or working in the units where you're not in the front, but really we could stand to have more of us on the front lines, meaning out in the field, creating these relationships and beginning to really create pipelines for more women who are building wealth to say, this is how I manage my wealth, and not just going off of our natural instincts to do what we do best, figure it out on our own, take care of ourselves, not know how to ask for help. Because I start to see all of those same things come up when it comes to money management and supporting women in finances.
No, I love that you went there. I want to uncover one other idea before we move to the client side of this, which is, you mentioned the pipeline, and I totally agree with the level of what I just call exposure, letting people see something that they could, you know, eventually be. And so I wonder what your thoughts are around the, you know, the theme of this season of Conversation for Financial Professionals is the talent pipeline, specifically the broken talent pipeline. I look at it as broken. Maybe you have a different perspective as to the current state of the pipeline and how we make it better, fill it with people that can actually, you know, be brought up into this industry, in this profession, the right way, so that when people have wealth to manage or need that advice, they're like, oh, I can go to this person because they look like me, or I can go to this person because they have this skill set. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I always have to give context, because I don't think I think like most people in our industry. So this whole wealth spectrum, right? And you talked about defining wealth, but I always knew about financial advisors and financial planners, and I think most people do know of those particular professions. But then, as we're seeing, there's this emerging class of financial professionals, financial educators, financial coaches, financial counselors, financial therapists even. And I can't have that discussion without including all of those professions, because as I have learned, and what I find is being really, as you talk about the right way to raise up the next talent pipeline and the next generation of financial professionals that actually work in private wealth management, wealth building has to start somewhere. And this is something that I hate about just, maybe it's just a life thing where it's like, you know, people present everything to you when it's finished. And so you just want to get to the finished line of it all. But building wealth is exactly that. You've got to build it. It takes time. It's a process. And you're not going to work with the financial advisor right off the bat. It's just not how our industry is even set up.
I'm so glad you said that. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there.
So who do you work with when you're just starting out? Who should you be paying to help you with the basics?
That's a beautiful segue. I think that the notion that someone would come to me as a certified financial planner and they have zero to almost zero or little financial literacy, they've skipped a bunch of steps, which I think is what you're getting at. And there's a there's a continuum that they should go along. So maybe let's talk about that, because I know we're both friends with Sandra Davis, and she's talked about the financial health continuum in the FFC, which you have. So let's go there, because I think that's perfect.
Yes, I believe in it. In my practice, I call it the financial spectrum, and it starts with education, then it's coaching and counseling, or counseling and coaching, depending on who's sitting in front of you. And then there's planning. I like to throw in therapy, and then there's advising, and then there's investment management. And so for me, there's this spectrum in which a client graduates over time as they ascend in that spectrum. You start off with the basics. You learn about money through experiences, through knowledge, through what you've been trained or conditioned to know. And you take that and you start to put it into practice. But you need help with the basics, like budgeting and saving and understanding your relationship with money, managing your money. Basically, that's where working with a coach is very helpful, because you kind of don't know what you don't know. And at the same time, you're trying to figure it out so that you don't have issues. Most of the time, people are competent enough to know, hey, I don't want to have an issue. So who do I need to work with so I don't have an issue? And then when you have an issue, more than likely, you're going to work with a counselor. At least that's how our industry has positioned counselors. They're more reactive. You come to them when you've got a problem that you need solved right away. And so that counselor is going to be there to help you figure out the solution and get over the problem, work through the problem, and now you're back on track.
With all the distractions and things vying for your attention on a day-to-day basis, when do you have time to consider what your purpose is? Have you thought about what it is going to take to achieve your goals? After having dozens of conversations with clients, I decided to provide a simple framework on how you can answer those questions. That framework is contained in my book called Assess, Address, and Adjust, a practical guide to becoming unstuck and achieving your goals. Look, if you've ever felt that you're losing the time for money trade and want to start winning in the next 30 days with real practical tips to improve your situation, or if you're not motivated to push through the day because you have a job you don't enjoy, a relationship you're ready to get out of, or just feel like you're not where you want to be in life, this book is for you, my friend. If you're ready to change that uncomfortable level of dissatisfaction that's currently going on in your life, and you want the tools to help you get unstuck, then head on over to domhendersonsr.com/theunstuckbook. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Okay, but throughout that journey, your coach is somebody who can still be there for you and work with you as you grow and graduate with the assets you're building. Ideally, they'll educate you. They'll put you on the strategies, resources, tools, information, but they're your guiding light. They're just there for you to use as a springboard, somebody to check in with, a trusted advisor, somebody when you're like, man, who do I ask this question of? Oh, my coach. So you now have somebody on your financial team that you can turn to when you have those very basic elementary questions that you're like, I don't know who to go to. But as your assets are growing, and that's the idea as well of working with the coach, because no, we get technical too. And a lot of us are CFP, so, and getting other designations. So we have skill sets that go beyond coaching. But for the most part, we can deliver that technical piece too, to help you with the budget, get a savings plan or a spending plan, get your debt reduction strategy in place, help you set up these accounts, educate you about investing. Like, we're going to do it all for you based on how people run their practices, because a lot of us are independents. But then when you start to build assets and you have assets that can be managed, you may now need a financial plan. And depending again on your financial coach, they may be able to supply that. But if not, you're ready to now work with the financial planner, somebody who can give you a holistic and comprehensive view of where you stand. And it's just a snapshot. That plan is just a snapshot. It's not the end all be all, but you need to see everything in one place. that's what that is for. And that's what they are for. They're being leveraged for this comprehensive snapshot in time. And now you say you want to be here. You say you want to be there. You say you want to grow your assets to this. Okay, well, here's what it's going to look like to get you there. That's where you really take advantage of that planner. And depending on their skill set, they might be able to help you implement that. And then they'll help you grow your assets a little bit more if you follow the plan. That's not just abandon the tool here. We don't do things just to crank it out.
Hopefully the coach has embedded the behaviors or helped with the behaviors with that. Because I think you're saying a lot of good stuff, and I want to interject here because I think what a lot of planners, specifically the Certified Financial Planner designation, does not spend a lot of time on the technique of behavioral coaching that goes along with the follow through for the plan that you just created, which makes a lot of sense to me, you know, being a practitioner, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I think the point that you're making is that these different faces of financial services all play a part in the client ascending up that ladder of whatever their goal is. I wonder what your thoughts are about, and I don't know, I don't want to start a gender war on this, but I don't know. It just, to me, women are more, they're just better nurturers. They're more emotionally in tune. You know, just kind of when you look at this across the spectrum, I know this is a very broad stroke, but yeah, most women are like that. And I wonder if you think that that lends to them kind of getting this dynamic that you've talked about more, because a lot of men, and I know a lot of people in this industry, are not coaches. It's almost like how a lot of men are not nurses. People are like, men are nurses. They're not more than women. So, like, do you think that's a woman's personality, or even just the biology, it makes them more prone to that nurturing thing that coaches do?
You know, I want to be careful how I answer this, because I'm finding again, I don't look at it for what it is. I look at it for what it can be. So, and what I'm seeing is that more men are, okay, it is what it is. So I find a lot of women are financial coaches, and a lot of Black women, I'm finding a lot of Black women are coming into this space, and I absolutely love it. And then women in general, I find, dominate in the financial coaching space. In the financial planning and advising space, I do find that it's more male dominated for all obvious reasons that we may know of. But yes, women can be better at one versus the other. Why? Yes, some natural tendencies are there. They come up and they support us being more nurturing and X, Y, and Z. But I don't want to pigeonhole it just for that reason. I think there's just a level of sensitivity, too, that women bring to things that men don't. And maybe that's just male versus female, how our species are different. And so when it literally translates into these technical numbers type of things, like, we could beat all numbers, and I believe a lot of us are able to look at the numbers and say, listen, this is a story that's being told. But when it comes to changing those numbers, where women can leverage our natural tendencies is around the behavior. It's around shaping the behaviors that require us to take action in ways that I think, again, the grooming of this industry didn't require men to have to even pay attention to. So, you know,
let's double click on that. Because I was having a conversation with Carl Richards on a previous season. And I told him one of the things that I think a lot of people in the space, both genders, lack is just genuine curiosity about the client or prospect. Just a genuine, like, just start with, I don't know you from Adam. I'm getting to know you. Like, we're in this dating phase of the relationship. And I want to ask questions to get to know you and see who you are. And I think that has been lost because people go straight to, how much money do you make? you know, da 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 da. It's like, it's almost like, you know, like, you know, a relationship, like you don't go straight to the, you know, whatever. there's a way to, I got to watch what I'm saying on here, you know, but anyways, I've been married 25 years. So, you know, I don't have any dating chops. I just kind of know how this works from a standpoint. But all I'm saying is there's a way to be genuinely curious about a person. For a couple of different reasons, and hopefully this is a teaching moment for people that are listening that want to get into the industry, where you identify what is important to them. And here's a key point, at least with me, decide if this is going to be a good relationship for you to get into. Because every person that comes to you won't be a fit. It may be like, I need to refer you to somebody else that's a better fit for what's going on here. So maybe give me your thoughts on, because I think, to your point, it's so competitive and so alpha dominated in this industry that it's always been this numbers game. And then we've lost the art of just human interaction and being like, this would be a great relationship, even outside of the financial part of it, you know, and I can see how you can know, like, and trust me a little bit more. And some of the stuff I suggest to you, you might actually do because you like me as a person.
Right. I'm gonna take a response to this that I'm not sure you're prepared for. So this goes back for me. The answer is, who do you want to be in the industry? Because you could come in, you don't have to be the smartest person. Believe me, you don't. And everything we do can be taught for the most part. But you have to decide, and this is why I love the work I do when I work with my fellow practitioners who want to go independent. Yes, it's competitive, and everybody will not succeed at the same levels because you have got to decide who you want to show up as in this industry. You could show up as a financial advisor, or you could show up as the best financial advisor that serves divorcees. Or you could show up as the best financial advisor that serves new professionals ages 21 to 25. And I say it this way because this is the part where you may not get these lessons in terms of becoming a successful business person in this industry. So going back to not losing the human side of it, you could show up just like everybody does and how these training programs teach you how to show up. But these training programs lack that human piece. So when you decide to go out there and you're independent and you're trying to get clients and nobody's buying from you because you're not personable or you haven't identified what's important to them, you'll either learn it that way. And then that's going to trickle into how successful you are, or you'll understand it coming in and decide in my practice, whether I'm with the firm or independent, I am going to stay curious. I am going to be very personable to learn my potential client, and I'm going to go niche from the gate. I'm not trying to be everything to everybody. That's not why you're here. So when I go spiritual, I'm like, you ain't here to serve everybody. You're here to reach a certain group of people who you can only reach. And if you're going to do it through this industry, then that matters. But that helps you to not forget about your human side when you know exactly who you're here to serve. So you're starting out in that training program, and yes, you just want to meet your quotas. You're just trying to get paid. You just need to make sure you're handling whatever your milestones are. Yeah, but spend some time going niche first. Understand who you want to work with, because it's going to show when you're working with somebody you really don't want to work with. But then you got to work with them because you need the money, or it's a valued relationship for the firm, or some other something that you don't really care about. It's going to show up in that relationship. So I think part of it for me is get the proper training. And if you feel like you're not getting that, like, and you know you better than anybody, if you're not the most personable, or maybe you really don't care about learning about your client, maybe this isn't the industry for you, or just know you're going to show up like a regular advisor. So your success is only going to be regular. But if you really want to go deep and wide and have great success with your clients, you've got to be able to differentiate yourself by becoming indispensable to them. And the only way you're going to do that is by knowing them. So you will have to put that effort in being personable, understanding their values, having conversations that don't involve numbers, maybe talking about mindset things, learning some of these softer skill sets that I think now the industry is realizing, oh yeah, we might need some coaching in our advisory practice. Or, you know, I've had financial advisors reach out to me because they're interested in what this would look like for their practice. So they're doubling back, they're circling back to be like, you know, we don't have these softer skill sets where we don't even get paid to care about this stuff. So, but we know it's important. Like, how do we create a different connection with our client and get more assets? Well, it's real. It's strategies that we could build to do that. But imagine if you start out with that in mind and you decide what kind of professional you want to show up as and who you want to serve specifically. Now you become the go-to for that community. You learn that community. You know how to get in there and do some really great client discovery. And then you're called upon to speak on behalf of that community when it comes to things financial. So, you know, that's my response, because it is about keeping that human element, but we all come into this with some goal, or we should. So I'm like, well, what's your goal? Do you just want to be another advisor? Do you see yourself retiring from this? Like, what's the plan here? And for some people, it's just a means to an end. But for others, this is their career. They want to dedicate their lives to serving others through financial services. In that case, you want to start out knowing these kinds of things up front, defining who you want to be as a professional, and then always refining that throughout the years, just getting better at showing up how you need to show up.
No, that was great. Like, we're going to have to, people are going to have to, they might have to purchase that segment of Dominique and Dominique, because like that's gold. Because I think what the industry, and I was just actually talking to another colleague about this, is there's such a different skill set from knowing how to give financial advice versus running a business. Like, these are two separate skill sets. And I've often said that opening a financial services firm to the advisors that I coach is like running through a brick wall, getting up and doing it again. Like, it's really, really hard unless you do the approach that you just said, which is start niche from the beginning. And of course, there's all the different excuses that come up with that. But no, I am totally with you on that. Circling back around to this gender war that I've artificially created here, I just wonder, like, do you have any stories that you'd like to share? I was having a conversation with an influencer in the space, Bola Shakumbi, like a long time ago. And we were talking about how she had went into a financial advisor. And I'm not going to say the gender until I tell the rest of the story, because everybody will know. The question when she came in was, where's your husband? She's like, excuse me? And she took it as an insult, yeah, because it's like, well, what do I need him for? I'm here to get financial advice. And so I wonder what are your thoughts are, and if you have anything that you would like to share about these obstacles that are just kind of like, they sound like they're systemic. They're definitely traditional when it comes to financial advice, and maybe how we start to block some of these. Is the solution just to be like I said at the top of this, where, you know, men hairstylists go to men hairstylists, women go to women hairstylists. I know there's going to be a little cross pollination there, but what are your thoughts?
Again, I'm going to go back to what I just said, like, coming into this, you need to know who you want to serve. And I tend to work really well with women. But at one point in my practice, I was attracting a lot of men, and I didn't know what it was. And so I just rolled with it, though. Right. But my target market was not men. And so, to your point, there's this cross-pollination that's going to naturally happen simply because who you are begins to come through your marketing. People can sense your values. And if you do the hand-holding, and if you're nurturing, and how sensitive you are to certain things. But again, when you decide who you want to serve, and you like, you know, I'm serving aspiring entrepreneurs who are just crossed the $100,000 mark in their business. I mean, you're going to have people at your door simply because they know you understand them, whether you're a man or a woman. And so that's why I'm like, I don't really want to perpetuate the idea that men work with men, women work with women, as much as I want to say, get clear on who you serve from a demographic and a psychographic, but really more from a psychographic standpoint, and get really good at serving them, because there's men and women that lie within that psychographic. And if, again, you choose to be successful and want to dominate that space, then they need to know that you're the go-to for them. Screw everybody else who, yes, you could be getting money from, and they could become a client and you want to work with them. They will either naturally gravitate towards you or they won't. And you'll get referrals from men and women because you're the go-to for that particular topic, demographic, life event, whatever that is. Just dominate that. And then I think, too, you don't have to worry about the competition, because you'll start to see everybody ain't trying to do what I'm doing anyway. Like, and others will see, oh, yeah, that's Dominique. You know, she specializes in working with, you know, women who are 25 to 30 and they're trying to climb the corporate ladder or get promoted. Like, they're in that second wave of their career or whatever. Like, you got other people who will start recognizing your game. And that's that. They'll refer people to you. Oh, I'm not the best for this, but, you know, you should talk to my colleague, Dominique, because she... And I'm not saying that's my market, because it's not. I just made that up. But
no, I
like,
get your
that's
example.
How it goes.
No, I think
right.
People have to think about this. And then I'm bringing this in for a landing, but I want you to talk about how to start a financial coaching business also before we wind this up. I think people need to think about it like this. With any other service, I kind of feel... And I love where you're saying the industry is going. But if we just take a snapshot of where it is right now, we are so behind the curve. I mean, people can DoorDash their meal tonight. They can Amazon Prime something that's going to be at their doorstep tonight, if not tomorrow. And financial services is like, yeah, come in and see me. People are like, what? You have a virtual practice? Like, so I think advisors are like stuck there. That's the first thing I think is the problem. The next thing is, just think about it. If you get diagnosed with a malady, something that's going to change your life, do you want to go talk to your general practitioner or do you want to talk to a specialist? Because I gave an example the other day, you know, I like personally, I have high cholesterol and they're trying to put me on medication. And that was my general practitioner. But what did I go do? I went to do all this research and I went to go talk to one of the top cardiologists. And I was like, hey, this is what my general practitioner said. And he was like, yeah, he's right. I was like, okay. Yeah. But I had to go get a second opinion is my point. And people like to work with specialists.
Yes.
So maybe like your final thoughts around people starting with the idea of specialization, regardless of how the industry tries to paint us as all the same gallon of milk.
Yes, that is so important. It's almost the myth. And it's not talked about enough because, again, these training programs just don't do that. And
they have their own motive, right?
You know, I'm an independent. Yeah, right. You know, and that's the beauty, the true term. You're an independent. You started your own private practice. I'm an independent. We, as independents, we have freedom. So we get to choose who we want to work with. That is so beautiful. When I was at Merrill, I couldn't do that. I had to work with somebody who had $250,000. There's only so many people with that, and that I knew. So there you go. I can't work with a whole bunch of people off the bat. So you got to make that decision, how you want to show up. And maybe you'd make that decision based on your career plan. Like, all right, well, I'm going to just learn it this way. And then in year five, I'm going to learn it this way. Like, that's cool. But just have a plan for how you want to show up in this industry. Otherwise, you'll just get pulled in. You'll get lost in the sauce. And you won't find the success that you're seeking all around holistically. You might be making the money, but you might not like the clients you serve. You might love the clients you serve, but you're not making enough money. or you don't find that you have the time freedom. You're always bogged down and just not where you want to be mentally or health-wise because of the job. Like, there's all these factors that we know of, but how do we circumvent them? How do we prevent them from showing up in our career path? We start this way. We start knowing who we want to serve, how we want to show up, and not trying to go wide and serve everybody, but really starting to hone in on that niche. Go niche, go special, and be special by doing that.
I think that's a beautiful segue. Let's talk about your Mastermind Money. A lot of people that I talk to through Jumpstart, I see both. I'm in a really unique position that I get to see the consumers of financial services as well as the providers of financial services. And on that provider spectrum, obviously people that go, let's call it the more traditional route with like, I got to pass this exam, that exam, and then I can do all this other kind of stuff, specifically around the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. But then you got those people that are like, investments, not so much. Like, I really want to help people, on the coaching side or the counseling side. So maybe talk about how to start a financial coaching business, this idea to launch in 8 weeks and how you help in that regard.
Yes. So this is a coaching program for financial professionals to be able to get some education on the entrepreneurial side. Like, I'm not here to make you a better coach. I'm here to make you a better business person so that you can run your coaching practice. And that's what I have found, that my peers were interested in going independent, but they were really scared. Like, the fear around being independent and how do I make money and who do I work with and how much do I charge? Those are all business questions. I don't need to teach you how to be a better coach. Like, there's other programs for that. This is, how do I become an entrepreneur? How do I think like an entrepreneur? What is the mindset required? And what's going to come up for me in my journey? So we start with some entrepreneurial mindset work and just kind of level setting, like, yo, this ain't thinking like an employee. This is different. This ain't that. So I want to get that into the minds of my peers right away. So the program starts like that. And then we transition into some of those business development pieces, who you want to serve, what that looks like, psychographics, demographics, really getting into how you're going to show up and just kind of staying there. But I've also learned that in doing that, the head trash comes into play. So it's like, well, I'm not qualified, or I need to take an exam, or I don't have that exam, or I haven't served that many people. So I have a part of my curriculum where I help you understand why you're qualified. And we kind of do a brain dump on that, because you got to keep coming back to that. That stuff doesn't end. As they say, it's the imposter syndrome. It doesn't end, especially as an entrepreneur. So we do that work. And then we end the program, and I might be shifting this, but we end it around launching, like literally launching your practice, your business on paper in your state so that you can be ready to accept any gigs that might come your way. Because once people know what you do, they're gonna start asking you. So you wanna be ready to be like, yep, I could collect that check. I'm registered with my state. Here's my business bank account, write it. I can go deposit it. And so that's the whole program. And we cover those three things, that entrepreneurial mindset, business development, and then literally launching your business in your state.
Love it, love it, love it. I think there's so much more opportunity when you lead with a abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset. And I think it's going to serve the consumers of financial services so much more in the future as we kind of get away from the traditional speak around this. And I think there's more of a convergence of really great ideas, really great talent in the space. So no, I totally appreciate you for giving us some context on that. Well, as you know, this is a podcast to empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And with that said, Dr. Reese, I wonder if you have any word or words of wisdom that you would like to leave with the audience.
Oh, plain and simply, everything in divine order. Thank you for having me. This is a journey and we're all on it. And so I don't believe anything happens by mistake. I believe everything is in divine order. And if you set the goal and you know how you want to show up and you have vision of being what's in your head, I'm going to encourage you to go with that. Mm-hmm. As uncomfortable as it may feel, as unsure as you might get, pursue that vision in your head until you start to see it before your eyes.
Love that. Love that. There's a lot of people that are stuck right now. And the best way to get unstuck is to give your brain the license to go after that vision that you see. I totally agree with that.
Yes.
Well, great stuff. Got to have you back. Really appreciate your input on this topic of forging new paths and the delivery of financial advice for women. Dr. Dominique Reese, thank you for the deposit into the audience.
Thank you.
I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You first might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. And remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to learn more about how Jumpstart can help you become a next generation financial professional or partner with you in finding next generation talent for your organization, send us an email at hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com, just in case you needed to get a pen to write that down. That's hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Bye for now until our next conversation.